Hey, this is Rob Liefeld, and you're listening to Matt, Ian, and Paul on the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 318 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
I wouldn't say we're with you as always. This is a little different.
This is very different. I guess. This is the first time we've ever done this.
It took a little work, but we are together in spirit. We are together auditorially, and we can at least see each other. No shots for some of us. Well, between us tonight, some of us already have a good buzz going on. Isn't that right, Ian?
It's all you. Or it's going to be funny watching this back when we're pointing at places that aren't on our screen. So I'm just pointing directly off screen.
Yeah. So this is our first attempt at Skype, at doing this digitally, so the audio quality may not be that perfectly crisp, clear McSauce standard, but we are here to bring you the show because we're heroes. I'll say it. We are goddamn heroes, bringing you the podcast that you want to hear while you're not allowed to leave your goddamn house, while the liquor stores are closed. My extroverted personality is starting to have a real hard time with this.
At first, I was really enjoying it, even though I'm still working from home. I thought it was nice. I didn't have to wake up. I could just roll to my computer. But now I've found that the horror of working from home and never actually being able to leave the office is pretty shitty.
I've discovered that I am completely an introvert. I love this. I love this. There's nothing I don't like about it. I have enjoyed my solitude, and I have enjoyed being home, something of which I have not really got to do much of over the last 5 years of my life. So being home, doing projects, consuming media, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, not to bury the lead here, Paul, but I have enjoyed being home.
I haven't left the house in 15 days.
You're really being hardcore with it.
I've gone for a couple walks around the block, but I haven't gone anywhere. Like, I haven't had to go anywhere. Like, I've been working from home. Hockey's been canceled. You know, we normally record here. So, like, if we were doing this out somewhere, I wouldn't have to go anywhere. You know, I've ordered food. So I haven't even had to, like, go pick anything up. So, yeah, it's been, you know, like, some of it's kind of cool. Like, I've been blazing through comics and TV and some movies, and I've gotten a lot of artwork done. But I'm ready to go be social. I am a social person at heart. I'm ready to go to the bar. I'm ready to have some drinks. I'm ready to get some Wild Wings. Like, let's flatten that curve, people. Daddy's gonna go drink in public.
And speaking of flattening the curve, we do housekeeping. I'm sorry, this segue sucks. Ian, do you want to do housekeeping?
What a transition. Yep, we'll, for the flattest curve, go to McSauce.com. You can find our podcast. You can find our comic strips there. Paul, over the past year, has done a great job putting out the Double Date comic strip, which wrapped up, and you're starting to work on some other things. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been contemplating putting a book together with all of those Jason and Michael Myers strips. I've done a shit ton of them. I think there's over 30 strips of them, which kind of surprised me once I went back. I was like, holy shit, I've done a lot of these. So, yeah, I was thinking about trying to get a book put together and get a limited print run, sell some of those. So, yeah, that's part of what I've been doing. I've also designed a Rat Bat t-shirt.
Your newfound love of Rat Bat.
Matt, Rapbat is a Rapbat is the chief Decepticon fuel auditor. He's one of Soundwave tapes.
I was waiting for Matt to fall asleep.
But he's so they play him so serious in the comics. It's so funny.
This is an absolutely genuine reaction. When you start talking Transformers, I very genuinely lose 100% interest in whatever we're talking about. I cannot keep up. It's like Paul with video games, but worse.
I'm looking at Paul and I can't look at Matt to see his reaction. And now I can actually see him, the life go out of his body.
it's so goofy, Matt, that you don't like Transformers, that they bore you so much. They're like my top three, you know, of my childhood. Man,
I don't know. I don't know why it never took with me, but I think part of it is because the I struggled to transform them. I was not a very dexterous young lad.
Dexterous.
It was the reception that screwed up the way I said it. I said it right. It was just a connection.
So, yeah, I've been doing some comics, been doing some artwork. I will be promoting those to you, our fine McSauce Nation, at some point.
What is kind of crummy is that with all the cancellations and everything, who knows if we're going to still be able to do all the shows that we kind of promised that we would do.
May Three Rivers Con is the end of May. That's right around the corner. That may get bumped. I think Sci-Fi Valley already got bumped, and that's at the end of June. And I think they bumped it a month later to August.
Right. Okay, well, I mean, if they get bumped, then we'll just be there later, and if not, then we'll be there next year.
Yeah, unless some dates overlap with some other stuff, I think we'll be able to, fulfill those promises. But we'll cross those bridges when we get to it.
Yeah, it's now August 28th through the 30th. So.
So, housekeeping, huh?
It's a very clean house. We've been scrubbing it all the time for COVID-19.
So we've convened here tonight to talk about what we've been doing, how we've been getting through, what's keeping us from running headfirst off the roof and smashing our skulls open on the pavement below. So, Matt, why don't you lead us off?
I have been on a horror kick of epic proportions over the last 14 days. I've consumed numerous horror movies, mostly slashers, Friday the 13th and Halloween movies, to be specific, as well as some documentaries. I finally decided to finally do the trial of Shudder, the horror streaming platform, and with a 20% off coupon code or whatever, I ended up signing up for the whole year. Today was my day where I could have canceled my 1 week trial, and I've enjoyed it so much. I was like, no way, I'm gonna hang on to this for the year. I think I'll be very happy that I did.
Does Shudder have original programming or original movies or anything like that, or is it just strictly the horror movies that we've grown up watching?
It's both. Not only do they have original content, they have exclusive content. So, like, while it might not be a Shudder original, it is only on Shudder.
Okay.
So, everything from shows to movies to specials, documentaries. I've already watched two separate documentaries, the first of which being Crystal Lake Memories. Crystal Lake Memories, if you haven't guessed, is a documentary about Friday the 13th. And they chronicle every single one of the Friday the 13th movies from the original all the way to the remake and everything in between. And it's very interesting, like things that I never even considered. Like,
Paul,
let me ask you.
How long is this documentary?
It's long. It's like over 6 hours long.
It's, yeah, because it seems like that covers a lot of space.
Yeah, it's 12 movies. And they don't talk about a movie for 15 minutes and then they're on to the next one. They give each movie, it felt like 45 minutes. Here's something interesting. One of many, many things that I found interesting watching this documentary, which, by the way, hosted by Corey Feldman.
The master of
Friday the 13th?
Well, what's that?
Was he in any Friday the 13th?
Yeah, he was one of the main characters in the fourth movie. His name was Tommy Jarvis, who ended up being a grown-up in the fifth one. And then he was also then in the sixth, but he had been recast. So he actually was played by three different actors. But his debut was in the fourth movie. And also Corey Feldman, I keep saying it thinking, wait, is that Haim? But Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman was in the beginning of part five, but he couldn't be in the entire movie because he was busy filming a little movie called The Goonies. So part four was right before.
I thought
before
you were
going to
say he was filming a good movie.
He did the summer that Friday the 13th part four, which was called The Final Chapter. The summer that came out was the same summer that Gremlins came out, when he had a small role in Gremlins, and those were out like same month. So I guess he was pretty big shit for a little while there. And then the next year or two, he did Goonies. So I guess that was when his career peaked.
I thought about getting Shudder for a long time, but I feel like I need to limit myself because there's so many things to watch. There's so many things out there. There's so many avenues, so many streaming services. Like if I get Shudder, like I'm just going to fall deeper down the hole of like having to watch things and having to check things out. So I can't get it.
But I feel like I already don't watch all the stuff that I pay for. So to add something else onto it, I don't think is a smart idea.
Pay for Disney Plus. Haven't watched it since The Mandalorian ended.
Are you still paying for it?
Mm-hmm. Sure am. $6.99, $7.99. One of those.
It's their
plans. Those could be going to some poor girls only fans. Instead, they're going to Disney Plus.
You haven't watched the Clone Wars? I thought you had some interest in that.
I'm definitely going to watch the Clone Wars, but it's on the list of things I'm currently watching. Matt, speaking of horror, I watched a couple Ari Aster movies that I didn't get to see in theaters. The last couple weeks, I watched Hereditary and Midsommar. And I thought Midsommar was really good. It really builds, and then by the time you get to the end, you're like, "Oh, fuck! This is all fucked." And Hereditary was kind of the same way. I like them both, but I think I wanted more excitement through the first three quarters of Hereditary. Like Midsommar is specifically, you're building to this. The final part of the summer festival. So it makes sense for everything to be slow and kind of suspenseful and wind you up. But like, I think Hereditary could have kind of hit the ground running a little more, but both really cool. I like them both. But yeah, I will watch Clone Wars, but I need to get through. I need to finish Altered Carbon Season 2 and Castlevania Season 3 first.
You're watching Castlevania, the king of hating video games. Couldn't fall asleep fast enough when we were talking
and
about
anime.
It.
He hates anime, too.
Yeah,
that's right, Matt.
Combination. Two things that you hate so much, but they're great together. It's like it's a dirty secret.
Yeah, Castle Vault, no secrets, no dirty secrets, no guilty pleasures over here. If you like it, own it. And something about Castlevania, like,
so weird.
I'm not crazy about the animation, but I like the story. Like, it's been entertaining enough that I want to check out more of it. It's not must-see TV for me. But yeah. This season of Altered Carbon, like, they replaced Joel Kinnaman with Anthony Mackie, and I was like, I really like Joel Kinnaman in that first season. The first season was great, so I wasn't sure how this one was going to play out, but man, it's really good. And normally I don't like that kind of dystopian future where it looks like Blade Runner and like all the streets are packed and crowded and everything, like everyone's like, we only have 12 feet to make this set, so pack everything in there. Like, I don't like the Blade Runner aesthetic, and that's very much what a lot of Altered Carbon is, but the story and, you know, the characters really, really get it done for me. I think I have two episodes to go for season two, and it's been really cool.
I find it really weird that you don't like the Blade Runner aesthetic, considering that, to me, is what makes Blade Runner popular in the first place. Especially that.
Well,
new
I don't think you've ever seen Blade Runner, or you haven't seen it in a long, or you saw it late or something like that, Paul.
Yeah, I watched both of them a couple years ago, back to back, the original in 2049.
If you watch them back to back, it had to have been like last year, because didn't it come out pretty recently? Yeah.
2049 is only like a year and a half old. But 2049 was gorgeous. Like, it was such a good looking movie.
Yeah, it looked great. But it was really boring.
It was pretty boring.
Visuals,
I like
the visuals
stuff,
can only take me so
boring.
I didn't find
both
it boring.
Both of those movies were really arduous to get through. They were like fucking snooze fest. Sorry. Not a Blade Runner guy over here. Altered Carbon, though, it's like They take the Blade Runner world and aesthetic, but they make it good.
They polify it.
Indeed.
Nice.
Ian, have you been watching sci-fi or horror while you've been quarantined?
Cartoons, some horror. This weekend I started catching back up on Voltron. I think I watched like 3 seasons of Voltron. The last season I got to was big showdown between Shiro and Keith. And I think I tweeted this today where, you know, that's the kind of sword battle that I kind of wanted from Revenge of the Sith, from Obi-Wan and Anakin. The Keith Shiro stuff was really great. Voltron, every time I sit down to watch it, it's something that I put off and I don't feel like there's urgency to watch it when they first release the season, but then I end up just binging it and really enjoying it. So watch some of that, and
it's so good. It's top 3 animated shows for me. It's animated series, the 2012 Ninja Turtles and Voltron Legendary Defender. And yeah, you posted that today about the Shiro Keith showdown, and like that's exactly what I thought when it premiered, because I would devour those as soon as they released. And whenever I watched it, I was like, oh my god, like I'm like tearing up. And while I'm watching, I'm like, this is what I wanted from Revenge of the Sith. But like, by the time you get to that in Revenge of the Sith, you don't care. But Shiro isn't even a real Voltron character. He was introduced for that show. But
yeah, they weaved him in perfectly. And
yeah,
in fairness,
it worked.
They had
so
hours
well.
And hours to build that relationship. You know, by the time that happens, it's like season 7 or 6 or something like that. That's hours of developing the characters that, you know, honestly, they didn't have that many hours in the Star Wars movies.
True. Yeah, that the showdown between them and just the way that entire show was handled, I loved it. If I could change anything about it, I would have had them do the Diruger Voltron, the vehicles at some point.
Yeah. At one point, I thought, because they were Pidge meets her brother and they're fixing up these other transports, and I thought that's where they were going with it, the car, yeah. Which would have been really cool. Matt, do you have any aversion to Voltron or anything?
No, I liked it when I was a kid, in theory, I guess. I didn't know a whole lot about it. I know that I like the aesthetics of it, similarly to how I felt about Thundercats. I wasn't really a Thundercats fan, but I liked the way the characters looked, and I liked the way some of the toys looked. That's kind of the way I feel about Voltron.
And you guys both talked about some horror properties. I watched two movies this weekend. One was a surprise horror movie, and one I was kind of... We rented Ready or Not, and we rented the latest Rambo Last Blood, which was surprise. It's a horror movie. There are parts where Rambo is ripping collarbones out of people and just blowing everybody's heads off, filleting people. Spoilers if you haven't seen it. He rips organs out of people. He rips this dude's heart out. It's insane. And I had me and my wife are screaming on the couch because we can't watch like collarbone destruction with his bare hands. It was wild. So
Matt, you saw the Rambo one, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think I went opening night in the theater. I liked it. I thought it was good. I think it gets a bad rap. What?
It was nutty. It was maybe because it was just so over the top gory. Can you agree with that? It was pretty gory.
It was gory, but it wasn't any more gory than the previous one, Rambo, the fourth Rambo.
And that one was, I don't know what it was, but it to me, it felt a little bit more over the top. And I know that the previous Rambo did have a lot of gore and blowing people up with napalm and all kinds of stuff like that. I really like that movie. I don't have problems with violence. It was just like, I was not expecting that from Rambo. Like, come on, man.
Maybe we need to rewatch these movies like back to back to really compare and contrast the level of violence. But I mean,
I have a Rambo collection. We could do it.
I've never seen a Rambo movie.
Oh, what? Boy. Dude.
Nope. I've seen more of the Rambo cartoon than I've seen of an actual Rambo movie. Like, I don't even think I've caught like bits and pieces of one.
Really?
I know what it is.
That's crazy. It's on all the time. It's especially now that we're sitting and networks need stuff to fill hours. Those Rambo movies, Rocky-a-thons, Star Wars-a-thons, those are gold right now.
You should definitely check out the first two Rambos. The first one in particular is just a great movie, but
yeah.
if you like the 80s, totally different than the other ones. Yeah. If you like the 80s, the second Rambo is really good. I love the music in it by Jerry Goldsmith, who I think you've probably heard of.
That's why people watch Rambo.
It just, no,
Jerry Goldsmith joints.
I'm telling you, though, that's part of what makes it so identifiable with the 80s. And it was totally a byproduct of its time. And I feel like Rambo 2, actually First Blood Part 2, wait, what the fuck's it called? Rambo, First Blood Part 2. That's the title. That particular movie, I feel like, was the movie that sort of all other action movies of that era copied. That's what gave those action movies of that time that tone and that over-the-topness. And that movie just did it so well. Oh my god, I fucking love the second one.
Yeah, I haven't seen the I haven't seen two or three in a very long time, but I've seen one recently.
When Last Blood came out, I went on a Rambo like binge and I watched 1, 2, and 3. I didn't go back and watch Rambo because I had seen that more recently. But I watched 1, 2, and 3, and 1 and 2 are great. 1 is great no matter who you are. 2 is great if you are a nostalgic idiot like me for the 80s. 3 was kind of terrible. Had moments that were okay, but mostly it wasn't really good. But, Paul, I would definitely recommend checking out 1 and 2.
Can you stream that cartoon anywhere? Because I haven't watched a cartoon in forever. But I remember as a little kid watching it.
I'd assume it's got to be on YouTube.
Maybe it's no on Shudder because Rambo, the latest one's horror, so...
Who does the voice? Does Sylvester Stallone voice Rambo on the cartoon?
No way.
Frank Stallone. Way.
Frank Stallone does it. Take me back. Do 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 do. Frank Stallone.
That's on my sex playlist.
Very good.
Bump and Grind, Rambo 2 soundtrack, and Frank Stallone single.
What a mood.
So, Ian, what did you think of Ready or Not?
I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool. I thought it had more humor in it than I was expecting, which really, I think, made the movie, even though it's an extremely dark premise, it lightened everything up. The lead girl, I've never seen her in anything before, but she seemed really good. There were parts in that movie, too, where I was, you know, screaming and looking away because it was too gross and graphic. When she's coming out of the, like, dead donkey pile.
Yeah.
Holy smokes,
yeah.
Man. It's crazy.
Matt, did you see Ready or Not?
I saw that on opening night as well.
Yeah. Oh, look at you. This is a surprise horror podcast.
Yeah, I really like Ready or Not. I love Christian Brunn and Adam Brody. And Samara Weaving was great. Like, it was really fucking cool. Andy McDowell, Henry Zerny. Like, I'm familiar with the bulk of the cast. And I love how, like, goofy funny it was. I love that they didn't...
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil the ending.
Yeah. The main husband...
I love how they didn't shy away from things and elements. They really dove in. And they made no excuses.
Yeah. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. Rare that you get some original piece of IP that, I think that it made money. So it's good to see things like that do well in the theaters and at home. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it about as much as I thought I was going to like it, which was quite a bit, actually. I thought that the previews looked really good, and then it proved to be... really good. But my horror binge has mostly been a result of going down the Friday the 13th rabbit hole. These are movies that I really wasn't that familiar with. I remember a number of them from when I was a kid really being into it, but I mean, we're talking like I was maybe not even double digits in age yet, and I was watching these Friday the 13th movies. Like, I'm more familiar with 1, and then I've seen like 2 and 3 within the last 6 years, maybe 7 years, but the other ones I hadn't seen since I was a little kid. And
yeah, those were almost wish list stuff for me. Like, it's stuff that I feel like I need to be in the right mood to go back and start getting through them. There's so much other stuff coming out now, like, you know, Hereditary and Midsommar that I watched. It's recent stuff. I wanted to see it. I've seen a handful of the Halloween and Friday the 13th stuff. So before I rewatch things, like, I really want to dig into some newer stuff.
Have either of you seen
which I still haven't watched yet? Nope.
No, that's
what?
Annihilation,
that again,
Matt. I said, have either of you seen Annihilation?
Is that Natalie Portman?
And Oscar Isaac?
No.
Yeah, nope. That's a sort of sci-fi, dystopian kind of horror film about this force field that's kind of changing the genetic structure of anybody that goes into it. So they start meeting these animals that are kind of merged with other things and do some really, really creepy stuff. So I think it's Alex Garland who did Ex Machina. He's doing that new series that's on FX called Devs. So pretty good stuff.
I may check that out. I've tend to enjoy, I'm starting to discover, it only took 40 years to discover what it is that I'm drawn to specifically in horror. And it feels like the stuff that tends to be more grounded is the stuff that that resonates with me more. So like when you start getting into the sci-fi stuff, I'm not quite as passionate about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sucker for slashers, you know, Halloween and Friday the 13th and A Nightmare on Elm Street. Here's an interesting factoid about A Nightmare on Elm Street. Ian, I'll ask you. Do you
and
know...
And not Paul? You don't want to ask Paul?
You can ask me that.
Do you know how many minutes of screen time Freddy Krueger gets in the first A Nightmare on Elm Street movie?
If I had to guess, it would be like 11 or 12. Well, you're just not here right now.
But I'm here.
How many?
Okay, we'll let you get. Well, I'm gonna guess 12 minutes. Paul, do you have a guess?
I'm gonna guess that he gets 8 minutes. Maybe I should have just done the under.
No, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. You both went over, so nobody wins.
Wow.
The showcase. It's 7 minutes.
So close.
Seven minutes. So close.
Does Robert Englund do a great job leaving such an indelible mark in only 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing with Hannibal Lecter? He's only in, you know, handful of scenes, handful of minutes, and still won Academy Awards for that performance.
Well, there was something that came out a few months ago. It was a compilation of all the scenes featuring Han, Luke, and Leia together in the original trilogy, and the whole thing's like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Like it was way shorter than you'd expect it to be, which is really disappointing.
So well, that just goes to show all the babies that are like, oh, the big three. We didn't get the big three together again. 12 minutes.
Like Freddy, buddy, that's how indelible they are. I would have been really upset if the other movies gave us less Freddy. I'm in for all kinds of horror. Down Home, Texas Chainsaw Horror, slasher horror. I'm even into space horror. I think the next movie I want to track down is Color Out of Space, the Nicolas Cage, H.P. Lovecraft movie, like a meteorite lands in this family's backyard and it kind of starts mutating the family in different ways.
Is that new? Is that on Shudder right now?
I don't think it would be. It came out this year. I think it came out a few weeks before the quarantine hit.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if it's one of those that got VOD release. I still want to track down Mandy, speaking of Nicolas Cage, but I don't know where that's available at.
Oh, that's the one. I think that's on...
Mandy's the one where he goes to hell to get his wife back or something.
Yeah.
You bought what? No, you bought Mandy on Apple TV.
Yeah, I have Mandy on Apple TV. We'll figure it out one of these days. I'll get it to you.
It's on Shudder. You can do
Mandy's on Shudder?
It is, yeah. You can do a 7-day trial. You may even still be eligible to try the 30-day trial on Shudder. If you type in...
You probably should do that, Paul. I think you'd like that.
Yeah, if you type in the code SHUDIN SHUTIN, I think you can get the 30-day free trial.
Yeah, I guarantee I would like it, but I know I'm gonna like it too much, and that's where, like, that's where a lot of my focus is gonna go. And man, so I have a lot of things to watch and read. I think my 7-day Comixology free pass just expired.
I was so happy whenever you sent me over that message and told me that you got Comixology. Did you like it? Do you find that it's worth the money, the $0 that you paid so far?
Yeah. I absolutely think that it would be. I'm looking forward to reading the end of this Transformers run, because I bought one of the trades to get one of the middle stories, but collected in that trade is part of the end. So, yeah, I think it would behoove me to, you know, maybe dump some monthly fund into Comixology to dig into some stuff. I might have to do it.
There's because tons of great stuff on there that you can just borrow. It's cool.
Yeah, and then after this Marvel Transformers runs over, like, I plan on going through the rest of the Transformers comic run. So, like, I'm sure Comixology is going to be a great resource for that. And I'm shocked that Bob Budiansky is, like, him and Don, what's his face? I forget the artist's name, but, you know, everyone talks about, you know, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and Bendis and Bagley and their big runs. I'm like, these two dudes put in 80 issues worth of garbage Transformers characters. Why is the comic industry not talking about the fucking heroes that made decent stories from garbage premises? Matt, I want you to stay awake for the rest of this podcast, so that's where I'm going to cut Transformers talk.
Trying to stay awake, I'm sorry. Ian, what else have you been doing with yourself over this 14 days of quarantine that we've been away?
I've been playing around with Procreate, trying to, cool. I don't know why, I just see so many people on Twitter, on TV shows, that artists really like Procreate, they get a lot out of it, so I've been trying to slowly teach myself how to do some stuff in Procreate.
Ian, are you generally a Sketchbook Pro guy, right?
I am, but there are certain things that Procreate can do, some folder stacking, some different blending modes that I really like. Ooh. in a whole bunch of different brushes that I really like to get my hands on and try. So I'm trying to make myself learn Procreate, and I think it's coming along. There's a lot of stuff that's really intuitive with the finger gestures and the swipe and everything like that, where you can copy and paste with a certain amount of finger gestures. It's pretty cool once you start learning it, but I've been against.
Oh boy! Good thing you can't see my hands, buddy.
I was trying not to laugh, but I saw Paul's smirk getting bigger. Oh fuck! Ian, have you seen?
You'll be good at the finger gestures already, then, Paul.
Have you seen the new keyboard that's going to come out? I think I texted you about it, actually. The keyboard out.
Mm-hmm. It looks really cool.
So I don't know if this is out yet. As we know, the iPad has mouse support, but it kind of sucked initially. I don't know if they've updated it where it works now, but certainly in, I guess it's going to be iOS 15, they're going to have legitimate mouse cursor support. Which,
yeah, I was so excited whenever I saw that mouse support. To your point, it's not very good. You still have to touch the screen for more stuff than I think you should.
Right, but I think with the new version of it, because the new keyboard for the iPad Pro is going to have a trackpad. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're actually promoting, I think, this mouse support, whereas previously it was buried in the accessibility settings, and
yeah, you had to go out of your way.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that, and I think that's going to turn your iPad into very realistically an all-in-one device. It's going to do it all. I think this is the first legitimate step toward us all working on iPads to some degree.
So I've made the right call waiting years before I dive into getting.
No, you're no, a lunatic. No. Should have had one for years.
The stuff that Matt and I are talking
like
about,
they really worked. They worked all the kinks use... out.
Why wouldn't I use that... a mouse?
I don't think that that's really the main driver of like having an iPad in the first place. I don't think that you would use it all that much. I think you'd get more use out of the pencil and all the apps that use the pencil.
Well, that, and then when you're not using it as a productive device, then you can, you know, like read your comics on it if you get into the digital comics or magazines or whatever. It's such like it's my go-to device for like around the house. If I'm not doing work, it's totally like my casual device. I love it. But
my casual device. Throw on my robe.
That's right.
You taking a shower, buddy?
No, it's not water resistant like my phone is.
Question answered. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't like doing weird stuff. Shower. I'm in there for business.
Yeah, they even have commercials about beer showers and stuff like that. I'm like, how much of an alcoholic are you?
Yeah. I mean, I've done it to try it out, but like I want to get it over with. Especially in these days of quarantine, where a lot of the days are just running together, even if you're trying to keep up your regular non-quarantine routine, like I'll get up, I work out, shower, you know, whatever, like I want in and out. Like when I'm in the shower, I'm like, ugh, I can't wait to be done with this. Like I just want to get on to the next.
I love that you have the part of my strong day. Feelings about a shower. It's such a inconvenience.
That's the wrong message. I love a shower. I love a hangover shower. Drink as much Pedialyte or Gatorade as you want when you're hungover. Nothing makes you feel better than a good shower. Hangover shower is the greatest. But when I'm just, when I need to just get up and start working on a work day, just pose me down and get me out there. Like, I don't need to dig into all those cracks and really clean the shit out of myself. I mean, I do. I'm very.
This is a very strange quarantine admission. Your hatred of cleanliness.
I've never been cleaner. I've never been cleaner. If you had interactions with me before 2 weeks ago, you've got something. But now, like,
great. Those COVID-19 handshakes that we have at the end of the night.
No, we've got very intense handshakes.
You fucking numbnuts have.
In one of the movies,
long boxes back there, buddy.
Oh, thanks. Those are short boxes.
Indeed, they are. Well, I like them. It looks like you got a comic sitting on the top of one of those.
I have some comics. Yeah, I've got. I haven't read this yet. The Strange Adventures. I keep meaning to get to it. What I started reading this week was White Knight. Finally started reading White Knight.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, you too? I thought you read it.
The second one, The Curse of the White Knight, I started catching up. The second volume. That has
Is that good?
Involved. Oh, yeah. It's really good.
Cool. Yeah, I hope that this stays good all the way through. I'm enjoying it. What my quarantine goal for the next couple of weeks is start finishing things, because I've started so many separate things. I need to start kind of reeling it in a little bit and finishing these things.
That last week when you said that, like, when you said you're currently reading two different books, it sent my OCD spinning.
Yeah, and I still am. Fury from the Tomb and We Sold Our Souls. Still working my way through that.
I wish one of them would be a romance novel. Like, they're both howling.
Maybe one of them is.
There is absolutely a theme in the shit that I consume anymore. There's a darkness to all of it, like true crime and horror and violence, like heavy metal. Like it's I don't know, man. There's something wrong with me.
Matt, I felt the same way. And like over the last 2 years, I feel like all of the stuff that I want to watch and I want to read, like everything kind of leans into the horror side of things. And like, I don't know if like getting older, like my focus is just narrowing, but mm-hmm. Yeah, like I feel the exact same way. I love it. It's been great. I feel like I really love the media that I'm taking in at this point.
Because you guys are some narrow motherfuckers. That's why. You love what you love.
As we get older, I feel like our interests narrow, but our passion for that small sliver of interest is no less. What am I trying to say? We're like still as passionate about that stuff as we were about anything. It's just that our interests narrow. Maybe not you, Ian. You keep things pretty wide open. But I have a question about horror, and this is a big question. What is it about horror? Maybe not you, Ian, because you're not that big of a fan of it, but like, what is it about horror?
I can take it or leave
it. Why do people like it? What is it about having your senses assaulted that makes us say, yes, thank you, can I have another?
It's an adrenaline rush. It's just like a roller coaster or something like that. It gets your heart going. You get nervous, even though you know that eventually some of the people are going to be all right. It's just a roller coaster ride.
But like, what about like the not real scary stuff too? Like, I've seen, you know, the original Halloween, you know, 100 times, and I still like to watch it, just the way I like to watch Star Wars or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't either. I find that the very genre of horror to be so fascinating that anybody like connects with it. Because I would say your average person doesn't like horror. That's part of the appeal, I think, is that it's a little bit off to the side. It's this like kind of little sub genre that only a select amount of people are into. It's kind of like heavy metal, really. Like, there's only like certain people that get it.
Kind of like comic books too.
Kind of like comic books. Yeah. Or, well, this is becoming more mainstream. It's like, for me, true crime, serial killers. When I would tell people, I'm really into serial killers, they would look at you like kind of with the side eye. But now,
people
it's like
should look at you with the side eye.
Not anymore, though, dude. It's like so
conventions
common.
And stuff.
I feel like it's way common now.
Just you based on who people. Matt oh, yeah, is, too. He should be getting the side eye.
That's the way celebrities look at me when I approach them. I'm like, I think I recognize that guy, and I come running over. Yeah, but I wish I had a better idea that I could articulate exactly what it is about horror that interests me the way that it does, or really anybody. I don't know. Maybe everybody gets a little something different out of it, or maybe it depends on what movie. I don't know.
Because it can't be too scary.
Well, here's the thing. Movies and shows are unquestionably the scariest horror media out there. You know, like when you read a book on horror, it's not nearly as scary. Well, it's not nearly as
That's
scary.
That's right.
As a
I
movie.
Disagree with that.
Yeah, I think books stay with you. If it's a really good book, it stays with you much more than anything else. Because you made it. You made it all in your head. You made it the scariest thing that it could possibly be.
Yeah, but I think for scares, the aural senses are a major part of what makes things scary. Why are you laughing?
Because that's the second time we've said that way tonight.
In different context.
Well, I think this is keying into like what trips our horror sensors, because like I don't, for me it's purely visual. So like I don't necessarily need to hear anything for something to be creepy. Like when I think of an image that creeps me out, it's in From the Grudge when you're looking on a closed circuit camera and you see Aoki or whatever her name is, like staggering
Tamara?
Down the hallway in the hospital. That's the ring.
And
like her ghost is like flickering from point to point and it's getting closer. There's no sound, but like that like gives me goosebumps right now just thinking about it. So like I think it really depends on what keys into each of our like trigger points. Because Matt, you're a big music guy. Like when we talk about any kind of movie, when you talk about Rambo, you key into the soundtrack. So, you know, audio may be your preferred input for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's possible, but there's just something like, it's not just the music too. I think.
Well, yeah, I meant sound effects and everything.
Yeah, the especially like if there's parts that you don't see in the movie, but then you hear sounds and things like that, that's stuff that just can't possibly translate to the written page. So I feel like movies have that advantage in that sense. Now, maybe the lingering effect of a creepy story is going to stick with you in a way that perhaps a movie can't. I don't know. But I feel like movies just have the edge when it comes to being able to scare you in ways and Paige can't do it.
See, like, I mean, for me, I think that's 100% the opposite. Because I think if you're reading a good story, then your brain is putting in all of that missing context. Like you're getting words from the author, you're getting put in places and scenarios, and you're getting as much of the story as the author wants to tell you, but your brain is putting in the worst things possible for you personally. And I think that's way creepier than what James Gunn is going to give me, because James Gunn's going to give me what he thinks is creepy. Like Stephen King can give me breadcrumbs and I will fill in the gaps between those breadcrumbs and terrify the living daylights out of myself. So in that way, the written word is way more scary for me.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't think I've ever read a scary story that just was terrifying.
Well, you're too tough. You're too strong.
Well, anybody is compared to you, but I can handle watching.
I don't like being in Mixoff Studios by myself. It's unnerving. Ooh.
Is there somebody in that sauna? Is it haunted? Over there? You should go check.
It's a reflective door, honestly. I can't tell. I don't want to know. But if I feel a hand on my ankle,
a warm hand. A sweaty, warm hand.
Ew.
warm zombie hand.
You guys want to know the... Like,
I've got something else for you to do with that.
You want to know the horror movie that I watched Saturday night? I watched a movie called Deathgasm.
No, you didn't. I watched it too.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Dead Alive?
Yes.
No. It's a horror movie from 1992. It was created by Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson's the guy that created the Lord of the Rings trilogy of movies.
I vividly remember they're zombies. I remember a rat monkey. I remember zombies getting chopped apart with a lawnmower. Very messy.
Yes. Very, very gory. Where was that filmed?
New Zealand?
That's right. And was that kind of what you would classify as like a horror comedy, would you say?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm looking at pictures of old Deathgasm here. And would you say that this also is a horror comedy?
It is. It's very much in the vein of Dead Alive. Buckets of gore, way ridiculous, over the top. Takes place
looks
in
like
New
the
Zealand.
1980s, is that right?
I think it takes place somewhere in the 90s because they're walking around with, like, Discmans and stuff.
But I was going to say, if it was the 80s, that's right up your alley, buddy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is a somewhere in the 90s joint. And it also has a similar sense of humor, maybe a little funnier than Dead Alive was, but very reminiscent. Like, it kind of hits a lot of the same notes. And I watched it on Saturday and I was like, man, I think I hate this movie. And then, like, it stuck with me into the next day. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't think I hated it. I think I kind of liked it. It was really weird, the turnaround that it had with me, because it's stupid. It's really stupid. And it really is. And it tries really hard, I think, to be funny. And sometimes it's like when you watch somebody that's not funny try to be funny, it's almost irritating. It has moments of that. But sometimes when it is funny, they really nail the humor. And I feel like it's those moments for the humor that's really good. And I appreciate the ridiculous, bloody nature of it. And then the premise is, this kid likes to play heavy metal and he gets these pages of music and he plays the notes on the page and it turns everybody in town into a possessed demon. And then he has to save the town with his heavy metal fortitude.
Dead Alive?
No, that's Deathgasm.
No, Deathgasm.
See, this is kind of another reason I haven't gotten Shudder, because I saw The Terrifier, so okay. I know the wide range of quality in horror movies, and The Terrifier, yeah, the clown killer is very scary looking, but the movie built around him is so low budget, it's embarrassing. So I feel like I would get Shudder, and yeah, I get, you know, Halloween's and Jason's, but I'd be like, oh, I've seen that stuff. I want to get into some other stuff. But then I'd spend so much of my time on Shudder being disappointed by stuff like The Terrifier.
What the fuck? It's not on there. I don't see it anywhere.
Was it a while ago that you watched that film?
It was a couple falls ago at the cabin.
I don't know, man. There's the channel or the service has classics. It's got really crappy B movie stuff.
Right. I don't know if the Terrifier was specifically for Shudder, but I think just the horror genre in general, like there's a lot of room to work. And I feel like a lot of the quality isn't going to be very good.
No, it really isn't. One of the things that I watched on there was
Ready or Not on a regular basis.
No, probably not. One of the things that was on there that I watched was another documentary. It was a documentary on Tom Savini. Do you guys know who Tom Savini is?
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Ian, who's cousin. Tom Savini?
We play in Tom Savini's makeup artist, horror guy, right?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Yep. Yep.
He was in direct. From Dusk Till Dawn.
He was in From Sex Dusk Machine. Till Dawn. That also is in what he's most Lock known and Key. For. Was he in Lock and Key?
Yep. I mean, it's a cameo.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
I thought he was dead. Is he in Lock and Key?
He might be now. He's the guy, he gives head key. He gives him the head key.
Fuck, you're right.
So it's only a cameo. I guess he's not dead. One scene. Yeah. Still alive.
What I really liked about the documentary about Tom Savini, if you're into horror, you know who Tom Savini is. He's a makeup and special effects wizard when it comes to horror. And he directed the remake of Night of the Living Dead, which I think in some ways is better than the original. Out of all like the remakes out there, it's one of the best ones. He has had small roles in movies. He's always funny. And he's like kind of a Pittsburgh icon. And the documentary doesn't shy away from his ties to Pittsburgh, which I think is pretty cool. And it makes it a point to say that he has accomplished this and this and this, and he's done it while living in Pittsburgh his whole career. He never left, but he still has had kind of a big Hollywood type career. He was the guy that did all the effects on the original Friday the 13th. And that was the movie that I think revolutionized gore and horror in slasher movies in a way that other movies that came before it, like Black Christmas or Halloween, didn't do. And so everybody's been copying him since like 1980. But what was really cool about the documentary was, as much as I like all the horror stuff and the links to Pittsburgh, It was a documentary about people, and it was very moving. It was very touching, and it was very, very good. I don't care if you're into horror or not. I would recommend that documentary. I would recommend it for anybody. What's it called? I'll tell you what it's called. Smoke and Mirrors.
I'd like to remember this thing.
It's called Smoke and Mirrors, The Story of Tom Savini.
So, it's not incredibly surprising that Matt and I have devoured some horror content. I've also been still watching The Walking Dead and Supernatural, lots of horror stuff. But Ian also watched some horror fare, albeit accidentally in the case of Rambo. So, yeah, what have we been doing the second week of quarantine? Horror.
Real life isn't scary enough. We have to scare ourselves some more.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe we need to push the envelope to make ourselves more comfortable and to be able to step out of Ready or Not and be like, this isn't so bad. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Cassell.
We'll see you next time.